I'm Ira Flatow. You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. Have you seen these new ads on TV? There's a cell phone ad in particular with teens trying to stop their parents from incessantly texting and tweeting. It's sort of interesting because we think that it's the young people who are texting and especially tweeting, but it's not just for young folks anymore, and that's really the result of a new study that came out this week about just who is online, who is using these social communities, what are they doing? I mean, there are some people we don't want to know about, you know who I'm talking about, who you meet socially online, but who are the people, where do they hang out, and what can we expect about the future? And that's actually the subject of this new study that came out this week, and joining me now to talk about it is Sean Cochran. He is an analyst for Forrester Research in Boston, author of The Broad Reach of Social Technologies, and he joins us by phone today. Welcome.
Thanks, Ira.
I was surprised to read in your study that, but it reflects what we see on Science Friday about how much older people who are Twittering are than we might think.
Yeah, well, I mean, Twitter is an interesting tool in itself, but one of the things, the point of the research we did is we've been tracking this for about 2 years now, and what we found is now we're at the point where about four-fifths of Americans who are online are actually now participating in some form of social media, and a lot of that's been fueled by the growth of people over the age of 35. Some of that's through Twitter. I think Facebook has probably really been the biggest catalyst of it, though.
We've heard rumors that, online sort of rumors on the Internet, that Facebook is losing participants in droves. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, the data I've seen is they're still at 250 million people globally. I haven't seen that kind of data yet specifically for them. But, I mean, if you look at Facebook, they almost have nowhere to go to some degree because if they were a country population-wise at this point globally, they would be number four behind China, India, and the United States. So they're at a point now where they have a great deal of people. So it's a matter, I think, now of fixing, or not fixing, but improving their experience and really starting to make money is probably their focus.
Yeah, and number four in the whole world.
Certainly. I mean, the United States is at a little over 300 million now, and they'd be at 250 million. So, yeah, they'd be ahead of, I think, Indonesia would be the next biggest. So, 30% of their usage comes from the United States. But, and you're looking at the numbers that they have, I mean, it's pretty amazing the amount of people are still using. I mean, before you start talking about them losing people, I think you have to look at how many people are actually using it now. I think that's still a big news factor. 250 million people using it globally, half of them roughly are logging in on a daily basis. So, there's people are spending more than 5 billion minutes a day on Facebook. So that kind of activity shows that it's still doing fine, I think.
Is that the largest place anybody is congregating?
It's hard to say. I mean, you could say that, some sites like Google and others have a lot of traffic, but people are spending more time, I think, Facebook than really any other social network, that's for sure.
Right. Well, people can Twitter to us, as they do every week, at SciFry, that's at SCIFRI, and also our number 1-800-989-8255. Now, these people, what are they doing? I noticed in your report you've broken it down to creators, collectors, spectators, joiners, critics, inactives.
Lurkers. What we did is we actually we created groupings based on activity and really what we call the social technographics ladder. And it really, starting at the bottom, there are people who are just inactive. They're not included at all. Now, that group is down to as low as 18%. So only 18% of Americans who use the Internet don't use social tools in some way. And then we started to look at what's the most basic way you could get involved, and that's a spectator, someone who just, is online, maybe reading a blog or watching videos on YouTube that people have uploaded. Then there's the joiners, which is now half of the Americans that use the Internet on a monthly basis have actually joined a social network of some kind at this point. And then we got into other things like collectors and critics, people who tag things and organize things are collectors, people who do ratings and reviews are critics. And then finally at the apex we have creators, and at this point about a quarter of Americans who use the Internet are actually a creator now. So that shows you how many people are actually out there publishing and creating information. That has a lot of impact on a lot of different industries. I mean, I cover marketing very specifically, so the advertising world is very, very different now, and also journalism. And, seeing what happens with the newspapers, you're seeing a lot of citizen journalists now.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I have some teenagers who I use as my gut checks on these things. And very few of them actually use Twitter. They love Facebook, but they're still doing mostly the old IMing text messaging.
Sure. Yeah, and that's actually – that makes sense. If you look at the nature of kind of the beast that Twitter is, and Twitter is kind of an odd counterintuitive tool. I don't know how often you use it, but I think a lot of people that use it still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But there has been some data that's been released. Now Twitter's grown so fast, it's kind of hard to really pinpoint some of this stuff. From one hand, it had about just a few million users in 2008. It's up to between 20 and 40 million, depending on who you talk to, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to even get a grasp on what's happening on Twitter is kind of difficult. Initially, it was more kind of adults, I guess, 25 to 44 type-year-old people that were using Twitter. There is some data lately from a company called Comscore that just came out recently, I think in the last week or so, that 18 to 24-year-olds are one of their fastest-growing segments. Mm-hmm. So younger people are moving in there. But Twitter's really kind of a broadcast tool. It's a little bit more public than Facebook. Facebook's it's an easier place to control. It's a little more private. And if you think about a teenager, for instance, a teenager is someone whose social network is usually right around them, within their school or, right around them, pretty close to them. So using things like, a cell phone or, for mobile texting or, your Facebook to kind of share your experiences makes sense. But when you get into an older age, and I think a lot of us know this, in your career, you start to build a network across the country, across the globe even, and you want to update those people pretty regularly, or you want to follow people that have something to say. And that's really what's brought some of the younger people into Twitter, is that, people like Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears and Ashton Kutcher are regularly updating, and people are coming in to kind of hear what they're saying on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Do different demographics, different age groups find different social media they prefer?
Definitely. One of the things that Facebook's, found is that women over the age of 35 have kind of flocked there, and they've certainly done that. And Twitter originally had a little bit more of a male twist at the beginning. And then you look at MySpace, which is still around, still has 50 million people using it, but it's definitely for a much younger audience and focus a little bit more towards entertainment. So people definitely have, based on age, and you can break it down by demographics, a lot of things have ways in which they use these tools very differently. And people's lives are different, so that's the way they do it. They're at different life stages. And, as you get a little older, I think people over the age of 35 have found Facebook really great, because you can connect with people you haven't seen in a long time, and you can kind of see what's going on in their life. But it's a very personal thing. And then you have people using something like LinkedIn. It's really more for career professionals. And I use it personally as my kind of like my virtual Rolodex. I just keep all the people who I feel like I need to keep in touch with from a career perspective in there.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to John in Berkeley. Hi, John. John, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, quickly.
Yes, I just called myself a Facebook widower. My wife comes home and she jumps on the computer and on Facebook, and I have to beg her or fight with her to get a greeting out of her. And when I talk to her about it, and it's Twitter now also, we're both in our late 30s, she basically sees what she does on there as very, very important, even though, 6 months ago or a year ago, it wasn't even important in her life.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
All right. Thanks for dropping out there. Yeah, we heard that about Second Life when Second Life first started.
Yeah, we call it Second Life, and we have this term in the industry, we call it the shiny object syndrome, where people tend to flock towards something, and they try it out, and if they like it, they stay. If they don't, they drop off. And, Second Life, really, it still has a decent amount of people visiting it, but it's just not the same. I don't think Facebook's at that point. I think Facebook's well beyond that now. I mean, like I said, the amount of people using it, the amount of people time they're spending, some of the other statistics you can throw out there. I mean, over a billion photos uploaded to Facebook in a given month. I mean, people are using it as almost, their personal address book in a sense.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you want to reach people as an advertiser or somebody, do you now go to Facebook instead of creating your own web page?
I mean, to some degree you do. I mean, and that's actually a great point, because it's one of the things we talk about with marketers now is, marketers for years now, for decades, have been used to what we call shouting. It's this idea that, advertising is talk at. You just throw a message out there, and if they hear it, great. But now people have the ability to talk back, and talk back even more than you think. And it's very transparent to everyone else when they do talk back. So what we tell, marketers is that basically you need to start building relationships with people. And, yes, you'll have your website still, but you're going to have a presence in all these places where people live as well.
Mm-hmm. And so do you find one person? Let's say you want to find people on Facebook. How do you reach all those people? If there are 250 million people.
Well, I mean, some of it's just Facebook, and, there is ways to search within the Facebook, and it works pretty well. I mean, the way I usually do it is if I meet someone, and my personal rule is I only allow someone in my Facebook if I've met them and have a friendship with them. So
you mean face-to-face? personally?
Yeah, usually, or unless it's someone I spend a lot of time with work-wise. Right. Maybe I don't see that much. Right. They work on the West Coast or in Asia or something.
So you don't want 1,000 of friends, quote-unquote,
right.
friends.
And that's what I use Twitter and LinkedIn for. So I actually use it in different ways.
Oh, so you've decided where the limits are for each one.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the nature of each one. Facebook, the way it works is when you build your profile, you have to accept a friend, and a lot of those things that happen in there are very personal. So the things on my Facebook profile, for instance, are who my wife is and who my friends are, and
right.
pictures of my life, and I don't necessarily need to share that with everyone. But
right.
Twitter, on the other hand, is kind of interesting because that's my way of my megaphone out to the world on things I'm talking about. And
right.
You know,
so which are your core social communities that you live in?
Me personally, it's the three that I talked about: Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Yep.
And each one, LinkedIn for business.
LinkedIn for business only. It's like I said, it's like a virtual Rolodex. It plays a little bit more of a role than that.
There's something new that Google is coming out with. The Wave. You know anything about that?
I'm not as familiar with that. I mean, they have this thing called Latitude that they came out, which you were able to kind of track your friends through your mobile phone with Google Maps, which is a little bit different. But you know, everybody's trying to come up with something in this space.
Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful where you go and what you say on these places, because once you hit that return button.
Yeah, especially in Twitter, sometimes you can't get that stuff back. I mean, that's one of the things that's really broadcast out to a lot of people. And if people choose to follow you, they're going to hear what you're saying. So you do have to be careful. And then, there's always security issues. And I think these companies like Facebook have done a nice job of increasing the security and making it better, but yet people should realize that when they they place things on out there, it's on someone else's server and lives out there somewhere else.
If you go on a picnic with somebody and they take your picture,
it could end up out there,
and people you don't want to see could see you on that picnic.
And we said 24% of people are now creators, so everyone's kind of a publisher in some way.
And you think everyone sooner or later will be participating, even though they may be a lurker now.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, it's almost impossible to avoid it at this point. I think social tools, the ability to share is just another dimension, another aspect of the way we communicate.
All right, Sean, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thanks, Ira. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Sean Corcoran is an analyst for Forrester Research in Boston. He's author of the new report, The Broad Reach of Social Technologies. And very interesting stuff about Twitter. You can Twitter us. Our Twitter is at SCIFRI. Also, we're in Second Life. People are grouping there and listening to the program. You can send us email there or our number 1-800-989-8255, the old tell way. So stay with us. We'll switch gears and come back and talk about, what's happening to the swine flu in college campuses around the country and what you should be aware of. So stay with us. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.